We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ready, down, put.
This is the Bear Report Podcast. With Zach Pearson, and Aaron Lenning, providing extensive coverage of the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears!
Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Pearson and Aaron Lenning.
What's up, Bears fans? Welcome to another edition of the Bear Report Podcast. It's officially draft week, and joining us once again is our good friend, Jacob Infante. He's a lead draft analyst for Windy City Gridiron. He has an awesome draft guide out on Patreon. I'll let him pump it out a little bit before we get going here. But Jacob, man, first off, thanks for joining us so much, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I appreciate you guys having me on. You know, it's like a tradition we got going on here.
Yeah.
Last chatting with you guys. So, I mean, I appreciate you for having me for sure.
For sure. And you know, before we were talking before this, you were telling us like, this is your favorite time of year.
Yeah.
It's the draft. Like, this is your thing. How many hours did you put into this draft guide? And honestly, where can people find this draft guide to check it out?
Yeah, so I think that, like, I mean, if you count the the hours of scouting everybody and taking notes and grading, then shit. I mean, we're looking at, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Sorry, but
you're fine. You can say it. Nope.
Oh man, but I'm so I ended up watching 440 players in my draft guide. I did watch one more. I watched the British Columbia offensive tackle Giovanni Manu. Because of course, you know, I need to watch the Canadian guy. But so 440, it depends. Sometimes I'll only watch one game, you know, just enough to get like an, you know, cause realistically I don't have the time or the resources to watch, you know, eight games of, you know, a Division II player or something like that. But a lot of the top players I, you know, spend a significant amount of hours watching, like Caleb Williams in itself, watching every single one of those games, you know, and every single throw that he had, you know, all the runs and all that stuff, that took, you know, hours and hours in itself. So we're talking hundreds, maybe, somewhere in the thousands of hours. I don't know. I'm not good at math. Math's never been my strong suit, probably not in the thousands now that I think about it, but definitely, you know, deep into the hundreds. But you know, it's my passion project, I guess. So you can find it in my, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. It's my, it's pinned on my Twitter. As a part of it, half of the proceeds for the month of April are going to go to the, Multiple Sclerosis, Society of, Association of America. So, you know, it's for a good cause. Even if you don't want to, even if you're not a massive NFL draft fan, then, you know, you're still, donating to a worthy cause. And, you know, you get a little bit of a heads up in front of, you know, all your people at the water cooler, all your coworkers being like, oh, you know, who did the Bears just draft? And it's like, well, according to Jacob Infante, and, you know, because I'm so famous now, everyone's like, oh, Jacob Infante, you know, he knows his stuff. So it's just, you know, a little something to, you know, give fans something to look forward to heading into the draft and, you know, give them like an easy cheat sheet into, you know, what to expect heading into the class.
Well, we could always name you the unofficial Twitter bracket winner of 2024 since it didn't actually happen. So, you know, it's crazy. Like every single time I go onto your Twitter page, it's like your followers keep blowing up. It's like you've passed me. I think you're about to get Jeff, I think, too, man. So it's It's crazy. So you mentioned one guy. We got to talk about him.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams. What are your thoughts on Caleb Williams?
I mean, I don't even know where to start. Like, I'm a very big fan of Caleb Williams, obviously. You know, maybe to my detriment with, you know, some of the things that, you know, a lot of the pro fields group was throwing at me over the course of the offseason. But, you know, I'm a big Caleb Williams believer. I think that, you know, watching him from, you know, starting in Oklahoma, it was pretty clear that, all right, this guy is what it takes to be a star in the NFL. And then watching him continue that high level of play and develop at USC, it became even more obvious that, all right, this guy's going to be, you know, this guy can be something special in the NFL. So I see someone with high-end arm talent, not just the velocity and the distance behind his throws, but his ability to throw from different arm angles, the ability to throw on the run. You know, it's all very impressive. The ability to hit targets in stride and tight windows is very impressive to me. The athleticism, obviously, is something, not just the athleticism, but the creativity as well. The ability to, you know, maneuver in and out of the pocket is impressive to me. The ability to scan the field to look past his first read. He's shown he can do that at USC. I feel like some people say, oh, he threw, you know, 2-3 picks at Notre Dame. He's a one-read quarterback. He's a bad decision maker. I think that game is a pretty big outlier because most of the time you see him when he's actually throwing the ball, he's pretty safe with his decisions. And, you know, for the most part, I see someone who can scan the field, who can sense pressure. I mean, the big issue, I think, is ball security. I think that's the big thing, is not even just interceptions, but fumbles. I think fumbles is the bigger, much bigger issue than interceptions with him. And I do expect the, you know, the interception ratio, so to speak, to increase in the NFL. You know, it's just natural, making the jump. Everyone's, you know, gets worse, I guess. But the fumbles where, you know, if you have to play hero ball, then making sure that whenever you get hit, making sure that you hold on to the ball or able to throw it away before that you, you know, before you get hit or something of that nature. And there are some instances where, you know, playing that hero ball where USC receivers don't get open, I don't think he's going to have to do it as much in Chicago just because the receivers are better. And I think the O-line comparatively to the NFL level is better than what USC had in college. But there are still some times where, you know, he tries to make a play instead of settling for a check down, or he finds someone open, you know, underneath where, you know, he'd have the opportunity to do that. But overall, I mean, I think you're looking at a very high level prospect, someone who's, you know, he's up there with your Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrows. The whole hyperbole is, oh, he's the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. And some people do believe that. I'll admit I had a higher grade on Lawrence and Burrow coming out. But I do think that, especially, you know, what we've seen from Trevor Lawrence at the NFL level, I certainly think Caleb can be and probably will be a better pro than what we've seen from Lawrence to this point. But yeah, I think I see someone with legit top five potential at the quarterback position. Whether or not he'll be the best in the league, I think that's a really high bar and it's a little unfair to him, but I think the potential is there for him to be one of the elite quarterbacks in the league.
So just to follow up, because you already actually answered one of my follow-ups, I was going to ask you where you had, you know, Andrew Luck and all these other guys. So you kind of took care of that. What's your viewpoint on the rest of this draft class? Because, and I know our buddy Sark Kyle Orton has been very, very vocal about his, I don't know if I'd say dislike of Jaden Daniels, but I think that there's been a level of hype that doesn't really seem to match what we've seen of Jaden Daniels, especially before this year. So if you're going, let's just say 1 through 5 at this quarterback class, you know, obviously Caleb Williams is going to be number one, but how are you ranking the rest of this class? And are any of these guys for you close to Caleb Williams at all?
Yeah. So I don't think that Drake May is incredibly far off. He's my quarterback 2 in this class right now. Obviously, you know, I have Caleb as the higher prospect, and there's enough separation to the point where I'm not even considering moving down to 2, where if Washington's like, oh, you know, we'll give you however much to get Caleb and you can settle for Drake May, I'd still take Caleb in a heartbeat, you know, take the better quarterback. I think Caleb is the better quarterback, and I don't think that's much of a debate. But I do think that the gap between Williams and May is closer than the gap between May and Daniels, if that makes sense. I think May is very clearly a much better prospect than Daniels. Obviously, you know, Daniels has the Heisman. He's got the stats. So people are going to be like, oh, you know, he's clearly better. But again, Aaron, to your point, I think that people are making a prospect out of him that his tape doesn't really indicate, especially, you know, prior to 2023. And even then, I mean, you're still seeing someone who, you know, under pressure still scrambles at an absurd rate. And he's athletic for sure, but there are going to be some times where, you know, in a more athletic and in a stronger NFL game, you're not going to be able to evade defenders so easily. And I don't think he's a really good athlete at quarterback, but I don't think he's a Lamar Jackson type or a Justin Fields type where he can just outrun everybody. There are going to be some times where he gets, you know, caught up to. And I think that with the skinnier frame and a lack of elite arm talent, you know, it's got me a little bit worried about him. And there's a lot to like. Obviously, the athleticism is still very good. I think he's going to be one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the league still, even having said what I said earlier. But and he's someone I think, you know, he's got good accuracy. He's, you know, I think he does a good job on the deep ball. And there's some, you know, shorter range passes that he does a good job of. And when he gets that open first read, he does a pretty good job of distributing it. But yeah, I mean, I have Daniels as my QB4. So I have Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, JJ McCarthy 3, then Daniels 4 and Penix 5. And truthfully, I'd have Penix as quarterback 3 if he didn't have just an extensive amount of injuries, because I see someone who's got a good arm, and I know that there are some statistics about, you know, he's generally accurate. He's not pinpoint accurate, but, you know, there's sometimes the receivers bail him out. But I think if he lands in a good enough situation, that's fine. You know, he's got the arm talent. He's got the poise. He's tough in the pocket. He's got raw athleticism. I don't know if he knows how to use it entirely, but I think with what you saw with CJ Stroud, you know, coming from Ohio State to the Texans, it's a creative perspective. Hold on. I thought I had to sneeze.
Oh, yeah, I saw it coming.
But there you go. But yeah, I think that Stroud didn't have the, you know, he didn't have the creativity. He always had the athleticism at Ohio State. It's just a matter of he didn't know how to unlock it. He unlocked that a bit more in Houston, and I think that's part of why he, you know, took a big, you know, he was as good as he was right out of the gate. I think Penix, if he reaches that point where he trusts his athleticism, then he could, you know, take better advantage of what he did than what he did at Washington. So McCarthy 3, I think the arm strength is there. I don't know. There's a narrative where, oh, he's got no arm. I think that's BS. I think that.
Wait, McCarthy has no arm?
That's what I've heard.
A narrative?
Some people have said that. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big McCarthy fan, but that's kind of crazy. I mean, honestly, McCarthy's arm talent may be. I mean, you could do a 1A, 1B, 1C with these top three guys that you're naming.
Oh, right, yeah.
With arm talent.
No, absolutely. And I think, I don't know, like I get the valid, there are totally valid concerns with McCarthy. And I mean, that's why I don't have him as a pure top 10. I don't even think I have him as a pure top 15 prospect in this class, but I do think he's going to go top 5 just because of the nature of the quarterback position. The arm's there, the athleticism's there. I think he's, again, a much better athlete than he gives himself credit for, because he doesn't take off and run a lot. But here, I think he's a guy where you're looking at 4.6 speed easily, maybe even 4.5. And you're seeing someone who's tough in the pocket. I think he did a better job of having that pocket awareness in 2023 than he had in 2022. He's accurate with the ball. I think that, you know, there are some instances where he, you know, doesn't make the best decisions throwing. But I do think that, you know, there's stuff to like with him and there's untapped potential. I'm not so bullish on him, but I do think that, you know, there are valid concerns with McCarthy, but it's not enough to the point where I'm like, all right, absolutely don't draft this guy in the first round. If I don't have a top three pick, I'd be fine with, you know, maybe moving up a little bit and getting McCarthy. I feel like a team like the Vikings might give up a little bit more than I would to get McCarthy, but still, you know, I think teams are going to fall in love with the arm talent, the athleticism, the flashes as a passer, and the intangibles too. I mean, by all accounts, he's a great kid, you know, just really high character guy, hard worker. So yeah, that's the top five that I have. And then Bo Nix coming in at quarterback 6.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I have two. They're on the quarterbacks. One's on Caleb. But the first one, in your evaluation, how you evaluate these prospects, how much do you take into account? Because I'm with you. I think Drake May. I'm a North Carolina guy. I think Drake May's QB2. Mm-hmm. And why I think that is because I watched Jaden Daniels, and he's got Brian Thomas. He's got Malik Nabers. He's playing, you know, in the SEC. It's a tougher conference. Yeah. How much do you take in, you know, Drake May had – Tez Walker, who did not play five games, and he had a great running back. How much to account, you know, do you take that in? Like, you know, these guys, even Michael Penix has Roma Dunze, and J.J. McCarthy's, you know, the style of Michigan's offense was lean on the run and short throws. Oregon, just total short throws with some good prospects. How much do you take into account of that? And then if there was one game you'd tell Bears fans to watch of Caleb Williams, which game would that be in your eyes?
Oof. That's tough. I'll answer the Caleb one first. Okay. I want, like, if you give me a second, I want to make sure that I'm getting the right one, because I know it was one of the Utah games I want to show, and that's the one
I was gonna pick was Utah 2 years ago on the road.
It was a SEC championship game, right?
Well, no, or this was the regular season one's the one I fell in love with it.
The one at Utah, 2022, USC ended up losing that game because their defense gave up 43 points, but
they went for two at the end too.
Yeah. 381 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks, 57 rushing yards. I think that was a big one that I was like, all right, you know, this guy's the truth. There are many others. I think from that last year at Arizona was a big one that I really liked. Even just from this year, obviously the earlier ones against, you know, a little lesser competition, you know, San Jose State, Nevada, obviously both incredible. Stanford, he absolutely diced them up. Arizona State did a great job. Colorado did a great job. Even some of those losses they had, I think Washington, he performed really well. And UCLA, I think he did a pretty good job too. You know, there are some times where he maybe took a couple extra sacks. But again, I think part of that is, you know, the receivers aren't separating. And so those are just a couple games. Even like, I think the thing with Caleb Williams is even the not so great games have some really, really good flashes. And obviously everyone points to Notre Dame. That's the game where, oh, you know, he was terrible. He choked. Even there, you're going to see some really good plays out of Caleb Williams. And obviously, it's not going to be a perfect game. You know, whenever you throw three picks in a game, that's not perfect by any means. But I think just the high-level flashes you see with Caleb Williams are incredible. And I think what makes him different from, you know, say like a Justin Fields, where, you know, at least in the NFL, he had incredible flashes, but the consistency wasn't there. I just think that the amount of plays where you can look at Caleb and say, all right, this was his fault, it's not nearly as big. The amount is not nearly as large. So, I mean, I can go on and on about Caleb. I think that he's not a perfect prospect, obviously, but he's still a damn good one. And there are a lot of different games that you can go to. His 2023 was great. Obviously, you know, 2022, that's the one everyone points to. It's the Heisman winning season.
I feel like his freshman season at Oklahoma doesn't really get enough credit, considering, I mean, that game that he came in against Texas, And then to turn around the next week after that and have his first start. I mean, dude, he had some really impressive games for a true freshman for a team that was falling apart. And Lincoln Riley already had half, you know, he had one foot out the door going into that season.
Yeah, no. And I think that's a huge one as well. You mentioned the Texas game his freshman year. I think that was the most impressive one from that season. But even then, I know Oregon against in the Alamo Bowl, I thought that was one that I came away impressed with him in. That Texas Tech game, he absolutely crushed them. So, and I'm sure there are more that I'd have to go back and look into my notes, but those are a few where it's like, all right, this guy's only a freshman. And obviously, you know, there's a learning curve there jumping into freshman year, but to the ability to dominate in the way that he did at Oklahoma, like right out of the gate, I thought was really impressive.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. Like, and I get it. I get that, you know, after a while, it's like you continue to do the same thing and you kind of feel crazy, right? Like the Bears, you know, draft Mitchell Trubisky, doesn't work out. They draft Justin Fields, it doesn't work out. So I can understand why people are skeptical. I lack objectivity in some ways when it comes to Caleb Williams. I've been a huge fan of him since he was in high school and he committed to Oklahoma. Like, I have no issue admitting that. But I also have no issue admitting the fact that I would feel the same way about Caleb Williams if he was going to Washington as I do with him coming to the Bears. Like, I really do think he's going to be a perennial top five, top seven quarterback. I think he's got everything that you want. I think the all the mental concerns that people have, I think, have been completely overblown. I think all you got to do is go back and look at what he did in that Texas game, some of the stuff that he did at Oklahoma in his freshman year, what he was able to do. I think people forget USC was a joke. It was an absolute joke before Caleb Williams came in. So it's like people want to talk about like how he hasn't elevated his team and he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that. I don't believe that's the case. But we've kind of beat a dead horse with all the quarterback stuff. I'm sure everybody's like, you know, they've got their Caleb Williams fixed. So let's move on to number nine. And I'm curious from your perspective, because this has been kind of a talking point that a lot of people have kind of, again, kind of beaten it into the ground. Luckily, we've got a few days left here before the draft. What is your ideal situation for the Bears? Because there's so many different ways that they can go. They could trade down. They could trade up. They could sit at number nine. Possibly number eight, depending on what goes on with Atlanta with this whole tampering stuff. Where are you at with number nine, and who are some of your favorite guys?
Yeah, so I've been, you know, pretty adamant that if the Bears can get one of the top three receivers in this class, you know, that being Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, then they should trade down. And there are going to be some, you know, maybe some exceptions I look into, like Joe Alt being one. And I say that as a Braxton Jones believer. I think that he gets crapped on way more than he should. He's, you know, a rock solid starting left tackle with 2 years left on his rookie contract. I think that's got to count for something. But at the same time, I understand the thought process of here's a potentially elite left tackle with tremendous physical tools, tremendous technique, tremendous spatial awareness. There's a lot to like with him. So I would understand if you want to lock down him and Darnell Wright. And then I don't think you can move Braxton Jones to guard. I think you probably trade him for like a third round pick is what I've been saying. He'd probably be worth. If the Bears go down that path, I won't be mad at all. But I think Rome Odunze is my realistic top choice for the Bears. If he is there at number nine, I'm going to be really disappointed if they don't take him or if they trade down out of the opportunity to get him. Just because I think he'd be wide receiver one in most draft classes these last few years. I mean, certainly last year, I think he's better than, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba was my wide receiver one. I have a higher grade on Odunze. 2022, I think it was either Olave or Garrett Wilson was my wide receiver one. I have a higher grade on Odunze. The year before, you know, not, you know, like the Ja'Marr Chase year, I didn't, but most draft classes that I've had, I feel like Odunze would be the top receiver. And I think that speaks a lot to, well, one, how good Marvin Harrison Jr. is, and also Malik Nabers, the fact that many people see Odunze as wide receiver three. But also just the fact that there's a lot to like with him from a size perspective, from a ball skills perspective, from football IQ, even if he's, you know, he's a little bit taller, even if he's not super sharp coming out of his breaks, he's fluid, he's coordinated enough, and he knows how to work himself subtly open. you know, it's not 9 yards in a cloud of dust, but he's good enough to get that subtle separation, and he gets NFL open pretty consistently. And that's something I think is going to translate very well at the next level. So if Odunze is there at 9, I think he should be the pick for the Bears, because you're looking at Keenan Allen over 30. He's got 1 year left on his contract. Would love to extend him, but even then you're probably getting what, after an extension, you're probably getting maybe 2 more years of great play before he either falls off or retires. You know, that's a slippery slope, and you have DJ Moore. You're going to have to extend him. I'm assuming they will. But other than that, you don't really have too many answers at the receiver position. So Odunze is my top choice. I would be fine with Joe Alt. I don't think Neighbors is going to be there. There's no chance in hell Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be there. But other than that, I'd trade down, because I think that your next choice there becomes a defensive lineman. And there are a lot of defensive linemen in this class that I like. But say if a Dallas Turner is there at 9, me personally, I'd rather move down to 15 or so, get a second round pick, and, you know, settle for Jared Verse or Laiatu Latu, then take Dallas Turner and still end up with, oh, you only have a third and a fourth round pick. I think that Turner's my edge one in the class, but it's not a massive enough gap to the point where he's so clearly above and beyond everyone else and you have to take him at 9. I just don't think that's the case. And then at D tackle, my gut tells me it's going to be Byron Murphy for the Bears. I just think that, you know, not going off of my own information or anything, but the speculation, I think, at this point is too much to ignore with, you know, Brad Biggs having a column out on him as a specific Bears target, which he doesn't really do very often. Like, he doesn't do, you know, scouting report types, but to, you know, I guess highlight his career at Texas, him individually, I think that's, you know, got to indicate something, because there have been times where he's indicated, you know, with a wink and a nod, and then it ends up coming true. That and the league expectation, where Murphy might be the first defensive player off the board. Murphy might end up top 10. He might end up being selected and higher than other people expect. I think there's too much smoke around Murphy to think that he doesn't go top 10. And I think if he does, it'll probably be to the Bears at 9. And I'm all right with that. It's obviously not my first choice. I'd much rather trade down. I'd much rather trade down and get like a Jerzon Newton instead of staying put at 9 to get Byron Murphy. The dream to me is trading down to that 14-15 range, still getting Byron Murphy, and then adding more day 2 capital. That's the dream to me. Obviously, assuming you can't get a Odunze or one of the other receivers magically falls to 9. But yeah, that's what I'd lean at the, you know, at the number 9 spot. I'd love to trade down. I think you only have rounds 3, round 4. You need to recoup some sort of draft capital, and I think that's a great opportunity to do that.
So in terms of those other two picks, you know, they have a day 2 pick, they have a day 3 pick. Who are some names that would kind of fit that void? And would you agree with this? Because I you did say you'd want to recoup some draft picks.
Yeah.
Would you be okay if the Bears maybe picked at 9, traded one of those other picks, picked up another pick, just for the simple fact that, you know, it is being considered a very weak draft at the end, the last day or so? Like, does that play a factor at all?
I mean, I think so. I think that, I mean, especially comparing the Bears now to where they were last year, they have a much fewer roster holes going into this draft. So I feel like you can maybe, you know, start to trend towards quality over quantity. But at the same time, I feel like the last 2 years, Poles has shown that he likes having that those round 6, round 7 selections to, you know, more or less get a head start on undrafted free agency. So, you know, say if you don't pick in round 5, or the only round 4 selection you have is that pick you got from the Eagles from the Robert Quinn trade, I think that'd be fine. But, you know, just maybe moving back ever so slightly with those round 6, round 7 picks, I feel like Poles is still going to try and find a way to pick there, just so he doesn't have to try and bid against, you know, 15 other teams who are interested in this intriguing small school guy or this experienced Power 5 starter who fell for one reason or another. You know, I think that that's probably going to be his mentality. if you're looking in like round, you know, if you can get a round two selection, I think that would be the dream. And if you can trade back from nine, get another round, get a round two pick, get another round three pick, and then maybe a little bit more on top of that. I think that that's something that Ryan Poles definitely should consider. I think that the value of, you know, say around that pick eight range to pick say 16, 17, I don't think it's a massive gap, truthfully. So to that point alone, you know, I'd be more than willing to move back a little bit and then recoup, you know, something in round two, maybe round three and some change. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, to answer the late round concerns, I think that's something where maybe Poles isn't going to be so keen on getting a round four or round five necessarily. But I do think that, you know, if you're Ryan Poles, you should be asking for it too if you're trading down. I feel like that's very clearly the best value they're going to get. It gives them an opportunity to add another starter at wherever, wide receiver, defensive line, offensive line, any of the three, realistically. I think that'd be a good opportunity for them.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Well, we have to at least ask you, you know, some maybe some not so Bears related questions, just because you do a ton of work on the draft. Give me five of your guys. Like, who are your guys? It could be first round, it could be sixth round. I don't care. Like, just give me your five guys in this draft that you would pound the table for if you were if you're one of the NFL teams drafting.
Okay, so I'm going to start off. I feel like I feel like I mention this guy all the time, you know, on Twitter, on podcasts, whatever. And, you know, out of fear of beating a dead horse, I'm going to say Luke McCaffrey out of Rice. I think he's someone where you look at the athletic testing, what he brings to the table from, you know, maybe he's not the strongest, but he's got some good size to him. He's got, you know, natural ball skills, good hands, tested incredibly well, ran very well. And, you know, for someone who's newer to the receiver position, I think you're looking at someone who has a, you know, great understanding of how to adjust his routes, whether it's the tempo or, you know, the pattern in his stems, to work his way open at a very high level for someone who's as new as he is. And, you know, I think that him starting out as a quarterback in college, I think that really helped him out with how to dissect zone coverage. I think that he's someone that right out of the gate, I think he can contribute at a high level. I mean, I don't have him as like a round one guy or anything. I mean, we're talking round three is where I have him. Maybe a little bit higher than the consensus. I think he's around round four is where most people have him, but I have him inside my top 90. And I think that he's someone who could really outdo his draft positioning wherever that may be. So I'll move to a different guy. I think for the offensive tackle position, he's probably going to go round one, but Troy Fautanu out of Washington is someone that I think has the potential to be very good at the next level. You know, I think people get wrapped up in Alt, Fashanu, Fuaga, and Latham. I mean, and rightfully so. Those guys are incredible football players. But yeah, I think you're looking at Fautanu as someone who's, you know, incredibly consistent at Washington. He's a very good athlete, someone who's coordinated, someone who's smart. Even if he's not the strongest guy out there in terms of play strength, he's someone who's going to get in the way, and he's not going to get blown up by power rushes off the edge consistently. He can play tackle. He can play guard. I think he's, you know, he's long enough to play tackle. He meets the 34 arm threshold. So, you know, 34 inches, you know, he's more than long enough to play at the tackle position, in my opinion. But wherever you want to place him, you're getting plus athleticism, a high football IQ, the ability to execute on zone assignments, coordination blocking on the move or climbing to the second level. I think that he's going to be a good starter for a long time. I want to find another guy here for you. I guess I'll go – so defensive tackle, I'll say Tyler Davis out of Clemson is someone that I like. And he's more of a one technique. He's not the longest. He's not the biggest in terms of, you know, height or all that. But he's someone who tested well. He's someone who's stout at the point of attack. He's strong. He does a good job of plugging up gaps in the run game, whether it's as a one-gap guy or a two-gapper. I think he does a good job. I like him a lot as a one tech. He's got, you know, good quickness off the ball to be able to be disruptive in the passing game. And he's had two seasons where he's had over five sacks. So he's contributing at a very high level, you know, being a three-time All-ACC defender. I'm a little surprised that not more people are talking about him as a day two guy. I feel like the consensus right now is kind of round four, maybe even round five for him, which I don't really understand. I mean, I know it's a deep tackle class and there are a lot of guys with maybe their arms are longer, maybe they're a little bit faster. But I think Tyler Davis is just a rock solid football player. So I can go in a lot of different directions. There are a lot of guys in this class that I really like, but those three just off the top of my head are a few that I think are going to outdo wherever they get drafted.
So let me just ask you this though. So do you think Fautanu? Oh my God, whatever. You know what the hell I'm going to say. I can always say it and then now I can't. Do you think he can, like, legitimately, do you think he can be a good tackle? Because the one comparison that has really changed my mind, and I know you can't go one for one, but Doug Farrar, I think he's with the NFL Wire now. I could be wrong on that. He's bounced around a little bit. He made the pro comp based on size and just overall traits to David Bakhtiari. And I'm like, dude, I mean, if you can tell me that he's even going to be 90% of David Bakhtiari, you got a franchise left tackle, a top three to five left tackle for the next 10 to 12 years. So is that what you see in him?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I can see that, you know, I'm maybe not to the extent of, you know, I could say, oh, this guy's going to be David Bakhtiari, but I can see similar traits. I think the mobility, the athleticism, the awareness that he has, you know, maybe he's not the strongest guy out there, the nastiest guy out there, but he's got good size, you know, good enough, you know, a body composition, but it's really the athleticism, the, you know, the nimble footwork and pass protection, the redirect ability, that I think, you know, I could see that. I don't think that's the worst comp in the world by any means. You know, it's kind of funny you bring that up because I hopped on a podcast with Lester Wiltfong, you know, as a part of our Windy City Gridiron work. And he asked me players for, you know, for each NFC North team that I'd be afraid if they drafted. And Vikings, I had Drake May. Lions, I had Jerzon Newton. And Packers, I had Troy Fautanu. So I think that it would only be fitting. It would only be classic Packers if they could find their way to get another David Bakhtiari to get, you know, to start at left tackle or wherever for, you know, 10, 12 friggin' years. So I'd hate that. I would despise that so much.
Wouldn't be good.
It wouldn't be good. from a football perspective, I mean, he fits what they like. He fits the athletic mold. He fits the guy who can play tackle and guard. So I'm really hoping he doesn't end up in Green Bay. Put him anywhere else, I'll be happy. Just don't send him to Green Bay, please. I'm literally begging.
My final one for you, Jacob, and thanks so much again for joining us. Give me a one bold prediction. Can be Bears, can be entire NFL draft. Just one bold prediction you got.
So I like to go to who's the round one prospect that's going to go that nobody sees coming. And I have two that come to mind, and they're actually both offensive tackles. And it, me saying that they might go round one, I don't necessarily have round one grades on these guys, but they have, I guess, round one traits, even if they don't have round one tape. So Patrick Paul, offensive tackle out of Houston, I see, you know, elite athleticism, very good length. Raw is all get out, but there's a lot to like there. And then Roger Rosengarten out of Washington is someone that I've seen pick up a good amount of steam recently. I mean, for full transparency, I think he's like a, you know, a round three type of guy. But I think, again, you see someone with his size, someone who can move the way that he can. Even if the pad level isn't all that consistent, even if he's not super strong as far as offensive tackles go, I mean, he's a bit top heavy. He doesn't have a super strong anchor, not super flexible in the knees, but he moves really well. And I think for a guy who's, you know, about 6'6", a guy who can change direction the way he can and accelerate off the line of scrimmage the way he can, I think someone's going to take advantage of that. So, again, I think the both of those guys are players I take in day two, realistically, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if you see a team like, all right, I mean, I think worse offensive tackles or worse offensive linemen have gone in round one. So I'll those are the two guys I think have a sneaky good chance of, you know, finding their way into round one. And everyone's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. But, you know, I understand where teams are coming from just off the traits there.
That's all I had to do. You have anything else, Aaron? Any more questions?
No, man. I think you pretty much nailed it. We told you 25 to 30 minutes and we've gone over that. So, no, you've been awesome, man. I love this tradition every year. Like it's one of those, like you can count on it being the, you know, the thing. And I'm just hoping for all of our sakes that their luck gets a little bit better this year in the draft. If they hit on the quarterback, if Caleb Williams is the dude, we're not going to be focused so much on the draft, you know, in October and November for quite a while. So fingers crossed. Just really appreciate you coming on, man. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot going on. So it means a lot that you, take some time out and do this with us every year.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I always enjoy talking with you guys, have for some time. So, obviously it is a busy time of year, but you know, it's a fun time of year, you know, being able to, see, especially for a team like the Bears that hasn't had the best of luck in the regular season, it's the thought of, oh, what's to come? You know, we could be better in the future. I think that's always exciting. So I enjoy the opportunity to talk about it, especially with you guys.
Appreciate it. Where can everyone follow you on Twitter, read your work, promote your draft guide again, any of that good stuff?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you guys can follow me on Twitter at JacobInfante24. You can find my written work over at Windy City Gridiron. I have my draft guide that I mentioned at the top of the show. That's on my Patreon. So that's just patreon.com/JacobInfante. It's my pinned tweet. So feel free to check that out. The next couple of days I'm going to be having some, finishing up some draft interviews, finalizing my final Bears mock of the year, I guess. And then, sharing my top 100 and my big board. But I mean, if you want to see the full thing, you got to subscribe to my Patreon. You gotta pay, a whopping $1 a month. So, I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm just excited, man. Thursday can't get here soon enough. So I'm stoked for it.
Once again, Jacob Infante, lead draft analyst for Windy City Gridiron. Appreciate it, man. Take care. Go get some rest after this draft, too.
Yeah, no, Saturday night, I'm probably just going to crash, and I'm just going to fall asleep for like 13 hours, and then no one's going to hear from me for another couple days. And then I'll start all over with 2025
draft. Yeah, start early.
Yeah. You better have that 2025 mock ready to go on Windy City Gridiron next week.
I will. That's my promise to the Chicago Bears faithful. I'll have a 2025 mock by the end of next week. So, I'm not mentally sane. So, don't expect anything less.
Are any of us at this point?
Honestly? No.